honestly, I think you talk about doing what you have to do. And that is not a common or is a common reaction. Like when times get hard, people just lay down. They're like they're met with that adversity. And then it's just like, well, shit, what am I supposed to do? You know what I mean? Poor, pitiful me. And I am not casting stones in a glass house. I've done the same thing, brother. I was sick. I was down. I was out, you know, and I've done the same thing. But the thing that keeps me healthy now is just that. It's like, I'm going to do whatever it takes.
Hey guys, if you missed out on the last conference in Nashville, Tennessee, you don't want to miss out on the next one. It's April 28th through May 3rd, Orlando, Florida, the Gaylord Palms Resort and Convention Center. You made a mistake missing the last one. You don't want that to happen again on this one. 5 days of some of the best training you're ever going to experience packed into one event. We have an early bird special right now, $50 off. Use 24 early bird on our website, streetcop.com. Look for the conference, click the link, register today. If you want to get significantly better at this profession in 5 days, don't dare miss out on the 2024 Street Cop Conference. Hey guys, welcome to this episode of Street Cop Training Podcast. I'm your host, founder and CEO of Street Cop Training. My name is Dennis Bonino, and we have with us today Casey Hildreth. He's a friend of ours. Got to spend a lot of time with Casey at our last conference in Nashville, Tennessee, and he is doing some cool shit for running a podcast. You guys are going to like his stuff, and I think before we get started, first off, I want to welcome Casey to the podcast, but also tell us who you are, because you're a pretty badass motherfucker. You got a crazy repertoire and background, and it's cool shit.
Yeah, thanks for having me, first off, Dennis. I really appreciate it. That was like the most professional intro I've ever seen on a podcast. Like, you like rehearsed that before we got on here? What's the
deal? Dude, I'm just that fucking good.
It's not arguing with you. But no, Casey Hildreth, currently the training director over at Cloud Defensive. Just took the position about a month and a half, 2 months ago. Super excited about some stuff we have on the horizon, both product-wise, collaboration-wise, and training-wise. So, and again, thanks for having me, D. I really appreciate it, man.
Yeah, of course, dude. Tell us about your background, man. You got a good background. I can't deny some of this shit.
Yeah, right. My least favorite thing to talk about.
It is what it is, bro. You got to wear it. You went and did it. You got to wear it.
I know. So I joined the Army in 2000. My first unit was 3rd Range Battalion in Fort Benning, Georgia. I was there for about 6 months. Towers fell. Did two trips with 3rd Bat. Went to selection 2004. After that, ended up at 5th Group in 2005, where I closed out my career 2019. Worked with my heroes every day, and it was an amazing ride most of the time. There were some obviously some down moments, but I'm glad it's over. Glad I made it, and glad that I'm in a position where I can convey that experience-based knowledge to citizens, law enforcement, and military alike, man. Been super blessed and fortunate. And, you know, just the opportunities afforded me after the fact, getting myself to the position that I'm in now has been a super blessing, man. All the people that helped me along the way. So just grateful and thankful for that.
I like how you breezed past it very vaguely. And for us who are not military people, maybe you can just explain that you were Special Operations Group. Is that what it was?
I was at 5th Special Forces Group. I was an 18 Charlie for 15 years over there. Yeah.
Okay. So what did that entail? What do things like that entail?
So the 18 Charlie on the team is essentially, let me start with the really sexy stuff. We keep up with everybody's stuff, including like forward property books, all those things. But the primary job of the Charlie is a special forces engineer. So we're essentially a breacher. And we do other projects as well. Like if we're building something to improve our space or a partner force's space, we dev into that a little bit, but we really like to just destroy things, blow things up, get into places. So
that's cool.
Yeah, it is cool. I will say probably my favorite, most meaningful time over there was as an instructor. So I was a sniper instructor at our Special Operations Target Interdiction course, which is a level 2 sniper course that is integral to 5th Group. And they're at each group has their own course, but just getting to convey knowledge and watching particularly the long gun space evolve in that time frame specifically was pretty amazing. And all the guys that came through, I really gained a lot from that, as far as it essentially developed me as an instructor. You know, in a Green Beret, that's essentially a job anyway. We teach foreign internal defense. We partner force. We're an instructor anyway. But having that opportunity was a great career development process. And again, I got to help the guys out. So it was pretty incredible.
You know, I'm curious, and I have a guess as to why you don't like to discuss this part of it, because I'm sure it's just beaten to death. Just like when a cop goes before a group of first graders, the first question we all get is, have you ever shot somebody? Or what's the craziest story you have? What's the craziest shit you've ever seen?
Right.
Which is fine. But even for us, we're just like, this is the 900th time that I've been asked this question. So is that part of the reason of why you're like, all right, I'm like, or you're just not trying to hang your hat on your previous life?
That's exactly it, man. I think that the mistake that a lot of guys in my career field, and maybe some guys and gals in your career field as well, allow that job to become their identity. And I think it's a necessary part of those jobs. But after the fact, I mean, it's all in the past now. And I'm thankful for the experience and whatnot, but that's not who I am. It's my previous life and my previous role. And I just have so much to do. You know what I mean? I'm thankful for that experience. And it was, like I said, it was all incredible. But I'm looking forward. I had a part of my life right when I got out where I was like, I was looking back, I was missing it. And it just wasn't very healthy for me. It wasn't healthy for me at all, as a matter of fact. But in order for me to keep in a healthy headspace, I have to eyes forward, continue to move forward. So, and that's it. And that's the, you know, it's just like,
I get it.
I don't hang my hand on my past, you know, and parts of it aren't that great, to be perfectly honest with you. So
I think everybody needs to essentially understand, and maybe in their mind really wrap their head around the fact that your past does not define your future. And you can't live in your past.
No.
The past is the past. It's done with.
Right. Yeah.
I'd like to live in my future. And so, you know, even though I may be facing daunting times and challenges at this point in my life, I try to take a look at what it's going to look like in 5 years.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think, and like we kind of discussed before we came on, you know, I think right now is a difficult time, and a lot of families are going through stuff. We're all going through stuff. I mean, it's the socioeconomic situation is challenging. You know what I mean? We're out here trying to do things as businesses and perpetuate the success of those businesses. And all the while people are worried about how they're going to put meals on their table for their family, you know, or for themselves. Even. And it's a challenge, but like you said, you know, we're winners. We're going to keep moving forward. And that's the outlook that you have to have, period.
And that's a scary thing, because although I know that I'm going to be okay, because I'll never not be okay, because I just trust myself, which is a cool place that I encourage a lot of people to get to, is to trust yourself. Just know that you're never going to fall down, die, and lay there. You know, I got to be honest with you, I think recently I had a hankering for a Chick-fil-A sandwich. And so I was starving. I didn't eat for like 19 hours. I'm like, I'm going to Chick-fil-A. It just hit me, right? I was going to hit Pliables first, but I just went for Chick-fil-A. Changed my mind halfway there. And dude, I think I ordered like two chicken. This is New Jersey, right? So I ordered like two chicken sandwiches. You know, the fries come with it and a drink. And I think I recall it being like $19.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought to myself, how does a guy who maybe make $25 or $30 an hour survive in this economy, when I can remember about 2 years ago, it was probably about a $9. So it's doubled almost in price. Right, that's not Chick-fil-A's fault, right? Because as a business, you're going to have to understand that if you're not meeting your margins or having, you know, some kind of profitability, you're going to have to raise prices. So that's inflation's fault. And the problem is salaries aren't keeping up with that inflation. So it's a very, very difficult thing. And then interest rates are through the roof. I don't mean to sound boring, but, you know, even exploring some loan options for us and some projects that we have ahead, you're talking about like 12, 13% interest rates on a loan, where we were used to commonly getting 3 and 4% interest rates.
Yeah.
Wild. Credit cards.
I know, man. I'm right there with you. I was talking to a buddy who's a real estate agent in a military town, and there is an absolute crisis right now for our armed forces personnel as far as BAH. That's a basic housing allowance. It's a stipend they get every month to live off post. Reason being, there's no on post housing available. So people can't live on post. And furthermore, you've got these kids, these new families, these privates paying $600 out of pocket on top of, you know, trying to afford an apartment for their families in these military towns. Furthermore, the apartments that they're paying for out of pocket are in the crappiest parts of town with the crappiest schools. And they're out there in the field, or they're deployed and they're having to worry about their families in these places. And, you know, it's just not right, dude. That's pretty much the bottom line. It's not right. So, I don't know what the fix is, to be perfectly honest with you.
Unfortunately, I think the fix is to maybe be the example of what a fix is. And so maybe giving guidance to our own actions. And it just brings me back to a story where I think this makes a good point. Probably didn't expect this conversation to go this route on this platform with you and me. You know, in times of desperation, I think many people are faced with options. And so, you know, the only option I think you should really be faced with is, no matter what I have to do, I'm going to do that. Yeah. And it just brings me back to a story of somebody I dated a long time ago, and I'm going to try to keep this as vague as possible. And so I believe that their family was facing some real significant hardships, and foreclosure was in the talks and real strain. And during the boom of the housing market from 2001 to 2008, or essentially 2006 when it crashed, this person expressed that, like, you know, the family's dealing with financial difficulties and distress. And so I went there one afternoon to see this girl in this midst of being in this financial difficulty and constraint. I'm sorry. I saw her father drinking beer in the pool at 2 o'clock in the afternoon on a Tuesday, floating on a raft.
Yeah.
And so it's clear as day as why you're going to end up in the situation that you're in. And the reality is, like, if it came down to it and the only job was something that I never thought I would have to do in order to provide for my family and survive, I would do that job. And there probably isn't too much I wouldn't do besides returning to being a corrections officer. Right. And that's my first job I ever had. And that was literally, I don't know if there's anything in this world, and hats off to the men and women who do that job. It's a very, very difficult job to do. I don't know if there's anything in this world that would be a less appropriate fit for me now in my life than doing that job. It is just not, you know what I mean? Like, and I did it well when I was there, but it is not for me.
Right. Yeah. You know, honestly, I think you talk about doing what you have to do. And that is not a common, or is a common reaction. Like, when times get hard, people just lay down. They're like, they're met with that adversity. And then it's just like, well, shit, what am I supposed to do? You know what I mean? Poor, pitiful me. And I am not casting stones in a glass house. I've done the same thing, brother. I was sick. I was down. I was out, you know, and I've done the same thing. But the thing that keeps me healthy now, it's just that. It's like, I'm going to do whatever it takes. I'm going to take care of myself first, physically, mentally, and spiritually. And then I'm going to do that in order to take care of my family and my friends, if need be, you know, my community. And that's what I tell people at all my classes. I'm like, man, look, just be a good person. Take care of yourself. You have to take care of yourself so you can take care of your family. And if you kind of adopt those principles and those habits, it's going to make you a better person. Like, whether you like it or not, things are going to start happening for you. You know what I mean? You're going to have the headspace to operate in adverse conditions. So, I don't know. That's what I had to do anyway. I had to get my head right, out of my butt, if you will, and straighten things out and get to it. So,
spoke to a friend of mine yesterday, and she's been on the podcast several times. Her name is Ann Carrizales. And so Ann was shot in the line of duty in Texas. And, you know, I just reach out to people and just say hello, and I'm thinking of them. So she said, you know, we had a little bit of conversation. She goes, what's going on with you? What's new? I said, nah, I just figured out life like the rest of the world. I don't think we'll ever stop. And she said, you and me, you know, whatever. She goes, so what do you figure out so far? Care to share? And I said that being a great human being to others is the only way to live.
Yeah. Yeah. Well said.
Because at the end of the day, that's where you need to start.
Yeah.
And so even in times where you feel like you have nothing to give, I think we really need to dig deep into our souls and give.
Yeah, man. 100%. And you know, if it sucks, man, that people are going through this time, it's just a bad time. And if you're in a position to do things for people, then do that. You know what I mean? You just have to be cautious, you know, who's out there grifting, who's out there scamming and whatnot. But if, you know, find some authentic cause to get behind. And if that's yourself to start with, then do that, man. If you're overweight, go out and walk. If you're in the law enforcement field and you can't shoot or you can't manage someone who's not being compliant, then you know, go do jiu-jitsu. Go to the range, you know, get a friend, build a community group and start doing those things, or work community group and start doing those things. It will reap benefits that are intangible after the fact. You know what I mean? You'll start to see those things. And I'm speaking from experience, man. Like I said, I was down and out. I did not handle my transition well at all. And it took a lot of stuff to get me to that place. But now I have to do it in order to stay healthy, and it keeps me healthy. So I can help others, not just myself.
I think the one piece of advice I can give as of today is never count your chickens before they hatch.
Yeah.
And that is a very, very, you know, you better count your chickens after they hatch, not before they hatch. Yeah. And so that means is like, you know, there is one person to depend on. That's you. And understand that the world is not going to give you what you think you're going to get from it.
Yeah.
And that's just the truth. But
yeah, it is.
Relying on yourself, man. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I just, for me, strategically, you know, I have moments too, man. I'm a real human being, right? We have breaking points.
Of course.
But once that starts to resolve, we can get our minds together. We can start seeing things a little more clearly and less cloudy with calm, stoic sense, and start making moves and take action to fix the problems that we face.
Yeah. It's okay to have a pity party every once in a while. You know what I mean? But it is not okay to stay in that position. You know,
you I'm going to give people something I do. It's crazy. And it actually works for me a lot whenever I'm feeling some real, I don't want to say distress, but you know, doing what I do is essentially difficult at times. And so life does not spare anybody. Right. And so knowing that all of you will go through something significant, I go on YouTube and I put in like how to get through tough times, hard. That's actually, I met Jay Redman. Actually watched his TED talk. We reached out to him. We connected. He came on the podcast, and I just, I think Jay's a wonderful, wonderful man. And I actually cried watching his TED talk. I got teary eyed. And I can't cry, by the way, just so we're clear. Like, I just asked my therapist last week. I'm like, why can't I cry? And then we figured out why I couldn't cry. And so I was really almost at a low point. I'm just dealing with a lot of significant things in my life. But dude, there's a lot of things like I got to give credit where credit's due. They did the creative work. Motiversity has a lot of good stuff about get up, get after it, get ready. You're going to beat this. You know, the darkest days are followed by the brightest. I'm sorry. The darkest nights are followed by the brightest days, and God pulling you back to release you even further. You know, all these things. All right. You got to really believe that. You really got to trust in the universe and the greater beings that are out there. That sounds a little crazy, but I've been praying to God a lot lately, and it seems like he's answering me a little bit.
Bro, amen to that. That is one of my foundations that I cling to in tough times, and absolutely has pulled me through some of the toughest times. But you talk about Jay Redman. Well, I was at when he spoke in Nashville, bro. That was one of the people that I was like, screw this booth, I'm gonna go watch him. And man, what an incredible experience, dude. That guy, you think your life's been tough, man, you take a listen to some of his stuff. He's it's an inspirational story, man. I've listened to him on a lot of stuff. I listened to him on Sean Ryan's show as well, and I think it was before the event in Nashville, but like I said, I saw him there. I was like, man, that's a real deal there, man. So but yeah,
I think about Jay a lot. You know, I think about, I have my health. My kids are healthy.
Yeah.
I have my mental health. There's a lot of things that I think about. And I think about Jay, like, would I want to be laying in a bed shot 9 or 11 times? Right. Jay was in bad shape for a very, very long time. And he just, where do you go when you have nothing left?
Well, that's what the sign they put on the door. I can't remember the verbiage, and I'm not going
to. Oh, it's fantastic. Yeah, we're not talking about this.
Yes, we're not talking about it. we're moving forward. But it's kind of the same thing. It's what we got to do. And dude, that's it's tough sometimes to do that. But if you can find the strength to dig down, grab yourself by the bootstraps, and just get up, like just get up and move, man. That's where it starts. You know, you got to start somewhere.
And not like easy, I said, man.
No, it's not. But you know, hopefully, I strive to live my life in an not necessarily in an inspirational manner, but just as an example, man. Like I want to be that person that someone looks to and is like, and it's not from an egotistical place, dude. I'm not looking for clout or anything like that. I swear, dude, it could not be further from that. I just want people to know that I authentically want to be an example and somewhere that people can look to and be like, hey, look, man, if you're down and out, get in touch with me, man. I'll talk to you. You want to hear down and out? I got some down and out. You know what I mean? We all do, though. We all do. So I don't know. Just exercise some empathy with yourself. Give yourself some grace and understand that every day is a new opportunity, man. You're not who you were yesterday. Then you don't have to be. You know what I mean? So
I think we're always so panicked in the short term, but we don't realize how much of a long term play we have. And I know people will say, right, oh, don't treat life like you're going to be here tomorrow. Like there's some truth to that. But the reality is more than likely you're going to be here for quite a bit. So I'm 41. I'll be 42 in a couple months. Like 2 months. And I'm reminded last night when I left the airport that I can't see anymore. Although I may have a youthful appearance. I literally this morning woke up and made an eye doctor's appointment. Because last time I was there 2 years ago when I turned 40, he's like, you need glasses, but you don't want to wear them. It's not going to do anything. And now I'm like, okay, this is not even in my control anymore. But you know, I also know that now is now, and there's a bright future ahead. Like I said, man, I'm a young guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Where am I going to be looking back on in 20 years? Who am I going to be in 10? Who am I going to be in 5?
Right.
And so that's
right.
The exciting part about it. Not the moment of there's nothing I can do. All these walls are closing in. My life is this. My life is that.
Right.
It's, hey, man, like, you know, you're good at this. You continue to see your way through things like this. Not a big deal.
Yeah, man. Or did we just turn into motivational speakers? Like,
I've been a motivational speaker and somebody that people rely upon for quite a few years. But Casey, welcome to the club.
Yeah, well, I hope so. We'll see.
You want to go motivation? I'll go motivation because I got to tell you, I think there's
all the YouTube videos.
You know, for me, I've been collecting so much education for so many years that I'm a culmination, I think, of many people who are well known in the professional field of motivational speakers who have obviously proof that they know what they're talking about.
Right.
And so I'm able to relay that information. I wasn't born with this knowledge. I just, some of the stuff I process, like one of the most profound things I've had recently is there are very few times in your life that you should judge other people, but there are some times you must judge people.
Yeah.
And I'll just tell you this, what those are. And here's where you judge people. And I'll give it to everybody here. You have to, is when you're going to be engaging with them in business and when you're going to be engaging with them in your personal life and namely a dating life with the intention of possible marriage or lifetime partnership. So I don't think you should judge somebody for being essentially in some sense, quote unquote, broken, maybe whatever it may be, this, that, the other thing. And I think physically and mentally, when we talk about engaging with people on personal levels and business levels, I'm talking about doing business with somebody, all these things actually should be accounted for and you need to make your assessments off of that judgment.
Bro, yeah. It's wild, man. Societal norms have shifted. The way that people act and carry themselves has shifted. And those trends are just that. And people, they mimic those behaviors and like what, considering things, well, this person did it, so that's okay. Or, you know, it's just like, dude, black and white is as little gray as you have to manage to make mission. But right is right, wrong is wrong. You know what I mean? I don't know. I just try to attempt to carry myself and walk that path. You know what I mean?
And that's really all you can do. And I got to be honest with you. I don't know if society has inherently changed that much or we just see more of it now because of the internet. I'm not saying the internet's a bad thing. I think it just exposes so much more. And yeah, there are some trends that people begin to follow and mimic and copy. But overall, I don't think the world was ever a perfect place. I remember a time, but I've read about in history books late 1930s, a man named Hitler who killed and was responsible for the deaths of 85 million people.
Yeah.
So, well, we're sitting here, and I've heard of a thing called the Black Plague, which knocked out like 1/3 of the world's population. So when we talk about how bad things are now, I can point to a lot of things that are good now, you know, I'm often reminded, because today I'm going to go home at 4 o'clock and hug 4 children who I just can't get enough of and adore. And so I'm very thankful to sit in the sunshine in my backyard and hold children and interact with my kids, you know?
Right. Yeah, man, I'm right there with you. That's a good conversational turn, man. Like, exercise that gratitude and thanks. I try to do that every day as well, man. I'm just thankful to, you know, right when I get up, I'm thankful for so many things. You're talking about dating, dude. I could not imagine. I lucked out and found the love of my life, and she and I are a team. She's actually here at Cloud Defensive as well. She's the event coordinator. So it's a great ride. She's a phenomenal human being and an inspiration to me. So, you know, she keeps me straight, keeps me on the right path as well. So
you couldn't imagine going through it again because it took you so long to find it. But the reality is, right, if you had to, one, you would go through heartache, but two, you know, I don't think people are any different now, in some sense, and this may sound really crazy, than they have historically been. We got to be the same age, right? You enlisted in 2000. What are you, 41, 42? Same shit?
46.
Okay, so you went a little bit late into the military, so that's my guess.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think that things are that much different from what we knew. I just think we see more of it. And I think that a lot of stuff is really blown out of proportion, and responsible of it is the media. I think that everybody's just as crazy as always been. And one thing I'll throw in there is, like, we didn't have filters. And that's the most fucked up thing I think right now in society is the fact that you can go on Instagram and see somebody's face and it's not them. You may see 25 pictures of somebody, see them in real life and go, I'm sorry, have we met before? And like, oh, we're friends on Instagram. Like, but who are you? I've never seen you before. Oh, I'm so-and-so. You know, you're not. That's not her. You're not that person. That's some concerning shit.
I'm so sorry.
But the reality is,
it
doesn't mean the old way isn't still available. It doesn't mean you still can't go out, meet somebody in person and hit it off. And unfortunately, I think people are very quick to say this is good enough. And I just think that's where everybody fails. And so we see a higher divorce rate because I think people are unafraid of divorce. They're unafraid of the judgment. Women work more now. They're not dependent on the husbands. They are independent. I think that some of it is a detriment but the reality is, I think at the inception of why we have a 53% divorce rate, which is probably higher than statistics prove, because I think people are separated and don't even announce it. So I'd probably guess it's more like 75% of people are checked out of these relationships.
Yeah.
But I think it has a lot to do with they approached it all wrong to start.
You know, I think that, like we're talking about, society's shaped a lot of that stuff too. You know, we made it easier to, I feel like the nuclear family's under attack from a couple of different avenues and political agendas, and we've made it easy to get divorced. And I'm not saying that getting divorced is not an option, but I mean, you know, put forth the effort first. I've got one.
I think when somebody starts pulling the divorce word, I think it's like there probably isn't anything that's going to send you a rescue rope. You probably made that. I know a girl who works here told me the day of her wedding, on her wedding day, she knew she was, while she was dancing with her husband, knew she made a huge mistake.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, like, and dude, I ask people this all the time. I'm like, you know, you're divorced. Did you know? And there's very few circumstances where somebody said there was this anomaly, this change that nobody could predict. And I ended up this way. You know, they're saying that. So, you know, I think that there's a lack of education and a lack of patience. I think there's a societal pressure that we think we need to be ready to go, not only with our careers, but our pursuits for a family by the time we're in our mid to late 20s.
Yeah.
And if you're not there, just jump and figure it out with anybody. Just grab a hand, run, and start getting pregnant and start creating a family. And it's just, it's a recipe for disaster. I would argue that you're probably better off being a little lonely and not having the stress of being with somebody you can't fucking stand versus the other way of just literally can't stand this person. I'm stuck with this person. I have kids with this person. Now we got to figure out a divorce. I'm losing half. I've got to pay half. I got to do all this versus You know what? Maybe I won't have somebody on Christmas, but I'm going to worry about this shit. You know, so choose your pain, which way you want it, right? Like, you know what I mean? People don't think like that because we're not trained and taught, because 94% of us come from nut job families who don't know or have the ability to give proper advice and wisdom. They believe they do, but they don't. It's like, you're going to sit down with your fucking, I remember getting advice about investing. I took an economics class in high school. This guy's got to be dead. But I remember listening to an economics teacher giving us advice about how money worked. That guy had no fucking idea how money worked.
Right.
So when you talk about how do we have this perpetual cycle of us being the same economic standard, all of us the same, nobody ever breaks it. There's been no intervention. The cool thing about today is the internet allows an intervention. You can hear from people who are living that life, or how to become, or how to start down that road of breaking the economic cycle of what your family's been in for their entire life. But you can't look around and say, I don't know how I'm still here. You're still here because everybody's still here with you. Nobody's ever told you you could do more. So when we talk about people who are giving you advice, you think my fucking parents are going to give me advice on who to date or how to date? You know what I mean? Like, fucking hated each other my entire life. My parents hate each other, right?
Yeah.
Hate them. They hate each other. You know, like, my father's giving me advice. Like, how could I listen to your advice? You're in a shit marriage. Right? Like, you're only in it because it's easy. You know, it's like, it's easier to do it this way than just leave at this point. That's how you're seeing it. You guys fucking hate each other. You're going to tell me how to date?
I came up in the opposite of that, man. My dad showed me how to treat people through his relationship with my mother, man. He showed me how to love people.
You're lucky. You're like the 10% of people that had normal parents.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah. 100%. And I sucked at it the first time around, but this time I won't make that mistake again.
You're mature. You know about who you are. You know yourself. You have better morals. You understand what's worth it and what's not. You know, you fucking get that.
Well, I mean, it's just like counting the blessings. You know what I mean? It's like, what? I don't know.
You're here. How many times did you go to combat deployment and you're still fucking here? And some of your fucking teammates aren't. So holy shit, no matter what happens, you still got another fucking shot at it and they didn't. Right.
Well, that's the thing. And now I have the opportunity to live a life to honor those guys. You know what I mean? And I didn't in transition. I was just like, I was a shit show, for lack of a better term. But I got myself straight, and with the help of a lot of people, a lot of mates and whatnot. And now I'm in a position where I can live a life that honors those guys. You know what I mean? That honors the service and the sacrifice of those guys. So I count my blessings every single day, man. I'm just, I'm super thankful for all of it, you know, even the bad stuff, because without the bad stuff, I wouldn't be the guy that I am sitting here, you know?
Hey guys, follow us on all social media platforms, to include Instagram, Twitter, Facebook group. We have so much information going on every single day, and we don't want you to miss out on any of that stuff. So check it out. Go give us a follow. So recently somebody reached out and said to me, your podcasts have felt very down lately. And so I have been putting thought, that's about a week ago, I got that message. And that person said, you know, we come to you for the pick-me-ups and the da-da-da-da and all this, these inspirational things. You help my, save me, and all these, you help me so much. And I don't want to tune into the podcast and hear you sound like you're depressed. And I've got to be honest with you. I can only reflect what I'm feeling. And so not that I was depressed, but I had a lot going on. But I also think it would be amiss if I didn't show up and give you some of that as well. How can I be this authentic guy and show up here like I'm this fucking happy-go-lucky motherfucker all the time? And by the way, I pride myself on knowing that you may not like me, but you'll never find a story about me doing something that was selfish and was sneaky and snake-like and fucking self-serving. It is never that. It's just never that. I just don't live like my life that way. So you may find people don't like me. They don't like the way I do things. They don't like my attitude. They don't like my language. Whatever the fuck you want. But I can guarantee you, you're never going to find somebody that says, a dude's a piece of shit. Yeah. And I have proof. You just don't have it. So to that, I'm saying is, like, if some of these podcast episodes have sounded this way, it's a reflection of my life. And I think there's value here because I understand that people are going through shit too. And so I want you to hear that I'm experiencing this as well. If you're somebody that looks up to me, And I'm seeing my way through these things. And so can you. And that's the point and the message of a lot of this stuff. I got Casey on. He's teaching how to fucking do all this tactical stuff. We didn't even go there or get there. May do it in another episode. We have 35 minutes left of this fucking podcast before I have to run out. And that's just, that's my schedule for today. And the reality is, like, I still am not like, well, we didn't get to what we want to talk to. No, I think we did, right? You know?
Yeah. No, I think it's important, man. And especially in a position where you're out in front of, you know, your peers or the people that your audience, if you will, you know, exercising that vulnerability and remaining authentic through the entire thing. Like you said, I mean, you can put on a show and yeah, everything's, you know, everything's grand and great all the time and whatnot. But the fact of the matter, it's not. And like we said, man, it's okay to have those down times, but it's what you do in those down times, you know, and it's sure. What you learn after you know everything. You know what I mean? When you know it all, what are you learning now? You know, be a perpetual student and man, just get after it. Just go, dude. Do something. If you're stuck, you're stagnant, you're depressed, you're set, change something because what you're doing isn't working. So get off your ass. You know what I mean? It sucks. I don't want to be that guy, but that's a fact of the matter. You are in charge.
You were that guy. Yeah. Right? You were that guy. So if you didn't go through that, you wouldn't be eligible or qualified to give that advice today.
Yeah. 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 100%. Yeah. I spent a lot of time with law enforcement when I was getting out, you know, on the other side of it, you know, in the back of cars.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, coming out and to be frank with you, man, I'm just now coming out on the other side of a lot of that stuff, you know, but there got to a point once I got my head right and got fixed, if you will, that I was like, yeah, all this happened. The first thing I did was owned it all. I was like, I made these mistakes. It doesn't matter that I was sick. It doesn't matter that, you know, I was broke. It doesn't matter that I was abusing substances to cope with stuff that I should have faced. All of that stuff doesn't matter. I did these things, so I'm going to deal with it. And in dealing with it, I had to go through it holding my head up, you know, saying, yeah, this sucks. I have to do this, but I keep my head, you know, I'm going with my chin up. I got my chin up going through it. And I've just now come out on the other side of everything. And I'm, like I said, I'm thankful for that, man. I'm thankful for all of those things because things could have ended very differently for me, so every day is an opportunity for me to improve or help someone or, you know, just be my best. So I don't know, man. It's not, how the heck did we get here, dude? You know what I mean? I'm just like,
I just say, everybody don't feel bad. I had, I've probably had at least three special forces guys in tears over the past month here on this podcast.
Jeez,
so you're lucky. Yeah. Like we could go there, but I'm going to just, I'm saying like, don't think I won't lead you down that road because that's where I'm. And I know that the crazy shit is like all the guys like you that we all look at as like, you know, these brawny, manly fucking, you know, you're an alpha male. But I think one of the best things that we're able to do on this show is to show the humanity behind the people that we look at as to be these just manly, manly men. And the reality is a lot of you guys, if not all of you guys, are some of the most unique and special and thoughtful and caring human beings that I've ever come across. And you wouldn't expect to find that in the special forces community. And the craziest shit is, you know, it seems to be like you guys are your own worst enemies. And I mean, towards each other. 100%. However, yeah. But I think that's changing as you're getting into this age group where people are starting to behave a little more appropriately and have less machismo around this personality. And by the way, you've earned it. I'm not diminishing. You've earned the right, you know, to wear what you wear.
Right. But here's the thing, man. I think that the way things are moving, especially as it pertains to veterans and whatnot, you know, the war, especially the intensity of the war, like it's aging and whatnot. And we're starting to see things in a different lens. It's things from a different spectrum, you know, and it's like, guys have had time to heal or things are time is beginning to heal things. And the guys that aren't healing, unfortunately, are, and I'm not judging anyone. I've been there, but they're living lives that aren't serving themselves and they're not serving anyone else, to be frank. And it's a real issue. All the while the veteran, the attention on the veteran issues and whatnot is kind of also going by the wayside. And in some places, not all, but in some lenses, you know, people are, that circle's getting smaller. It's like, we're worried about how we're putting a meal on the table, but you know, we still got 1.5 million, 2 million, however many veterans there are that a lot of them aren't okay, man. They're not okay. So, my wife and I are doing, we do an event every year. It's called the Resilience Truck. That's coming up in November, where we raise money for veteran charities. We're doing, the benefactors this year are SOC F, which saved my life, Warrior's Heart Healing, buddy Tom Spooner's place out in Bandera, Texas. And then we have a local, Kentucky veterans organization that we're also contributing some of the money to as well. So we're just, because we're in a position where we can help, you know, and we weren't always there, but we're getting to a place where we can start helping people. And all these great organizations are chipping in and helping with the event and whatnot. This is our second year, but, you know, I say all that to say that there's still a need for these veterans to get help, man. There's people out there dying every day still. And from the things that the impressions and the events of that conflict or conflicts rather, that are either currently ruining people's lives or they're just rotting them every single day, you know, and there's places out there to get help. So, we kind of want to be a conduit for all of that as well. So I don't know, man, I'm just doing what I can, just trying, you know.
As somebody who's been in some of the worst places in your life, and hopefully the last time you ever have to visit those places, what is your message to somebody? If you can go back and see yourself at the lowest point, what is the message you would say to somebody who is enduring one of the most difficult times in their lives? And so we've already talked about, like, pick yourself up, get yourself out. Like, walk me through when it feels like it's hopeless, how you find hope.
Wow. So this is the part where you make the SF guy cry, right? So I do this every so often. I look back on, you know, sitting on the floor in my old house, drunk, staring at the pistol on the counter. You know what I mean? And I think about that time quite a bit because I am so blessed now. And to think that I was so sick and so hopeless to be thinking about something like that and looking at my life when I wake up every single day now, I would say to myself in that position is like, bro, you have no idea what's waiting for you, you know? And by the grace of God and by the grace of my friends and my family, and prayer and Jesus Christ himself, I'm still here. And I have an opportunity every day to hopefully change that situation for someone, you know, I want to be a living example of that. So, no matter how hopeless you are, man, I promise you, if you just get up and move, ask for help. We suck at that, man. Ask for some help. That's you've been this resilient person your entire life. And I'm not just talking about combat trauma, man. First responders, law enforcement, firefighters, all you guys and gals out there, if someone is sick and suffering or dealing with something where you have to go home and drink a bottle of whiskey to go to sleep and wake up in the morning and have a couple beers before you go on, you know, whatever. If you're running for something you need to deal with, there's ways to do that. And there's organizations to help you do that. And there's people to help you do that. Just ask, man. Just ask for some help. You know, I don't know. I went down to Mexico and I did the thing that saved my life was I did an Ibogaine experience and 5-MeO DMT through Mission Within. And after that experience, and I saw like everything essentially was explained to me. I know it sounds crazy.
Nope.
Everything
sounds crazy.
Everything was explained to me and it was like, hey man, everything that you did experienced and was imprinted on you, it's okay. All of those things happen for a reason. And that's where I kind of began to understand the mental and physical struggle that I dealt with after the fact because it showed me, is like, you've got so much more to do, you know? And I worked my way into a position where I was capable of taking care of myself, and then, you know, took care of my family. And now where I'm perpetuating that success and that momentum, if I have the opportunity to help others, that's where I want to get to. You know what I mean? And I'm there. I just want to do it on a larger scale, you know, whether it's training, whether it's, you know, getting people the help that they need, whether it's, you know, just being an open ear for someone, man. I feel like that's kind of my purpose. It's my experience anyway. So I don't know. I just want to capitalize on that for the benefit of others.
You know, there's nothing more that a law enforcement officer likes to see than when somebody who has had run-ins with the law is able to turn it all around, come out being a great success. So I just want you to know that even though you may have had experiences with this side of the house, I think you'd be real comfortable knowing that we completely and utterly enjoy when somebody actually sees their way out and comes to the good side. And yeah. So we're happy to have you, dude. You know what I mean? Like, we're happy to have you helping us. And yeah. I don't think you should carry guilt or burden, because I don't think there's one cop in the world who would judge you for yeah. that. So if you're ever feeling that, just know that it's not true from those who see this as a calling, not just a job. Herein lies a lot of friction in the industry, but
worse.
Like, we all appreciate you so much, dude. Just on the fact that you were able to, we know that you ran into some of our brothers and sisters, and whatever happened. But yeah. I got to tell you, this group of people are pretty forgiving, and they just nothing like they like, you know, and that's what we're trying to emphasize and teach is, you know, you could have judged a guy like Casey Hildreth, but you didn't know what he was going through. And so to hear that, I think that it's a beautiful thing for us to see cops today, and a lot more of that being exposed, being very kind, compassionate, empathetic, and try to understand how you ended up in a situation like this. Yeah. So glad to have you, man. Like, you know what I mean? Like, just, we're glad to have you with us.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate it, man. It means a lot coming from you, man. I know you do a lot to help the communities out there, man. Like I said, I can't emphasize enough. I know that my index trauma dealt with a female U.S. soldier, right? And thinking of that from a law enforcement standpoint, you guys are dealing with U.S. citizens every single day. That's kind of the scope that I look at things from, and I'm like, good, I could not imagine. So every opportunity I have to train with law enforcement, at some point in that training, we take about 30 minutes, and I'm like, look, guys, gals, not to be weird, not to make this awkward or anything, but let me tell you a little bit about my story. And the reason that I'm saying that is to, I don't care if you think you're okay, get some help, talk to someone, take care of it, get ahead of it, because it didn't happen just all of a sudden. Those traumas, that body of work collectively ate away at me, you know what I mean? And I don't want to see that happen to anyone else, period, end. So we take about 30 minutes, and I make it weird, and they're like, okay, top them off, let's go. You know what I mean? So I use that vehicle. And Frank, I get more contacted more about that 30 minutes in the training than I do actual training. You know what I mean? Which means a lot. I hope that it makes an impact on people just from the standpoint of like, hey, take care of yourself, man. Do it. If you're not doing it for yourself, do it for your family, or do it for your partner. You know, do it for someone, do it for your dog. I don't care who you're doing it for. If you don't feel like you're worthy, do it for someone else, right? Because they do. And they're going to fight for you, you know, period.
I think that it's important that although we're doing historic formal training of tactics and safety and this and that, I really think where everybody's been missing for a long time on how do we implement significant change, I think it has to do with the fact that we need to show up and really guide law enforcement on humanity. And guide a lot of people on humanity. And I got to be honest with you, dude. I know that we often, all of us, point to these awful things that we deal with in society. But, you know, my mind goes right to, you ever see those videos where, like, all the kids chip in and, you know, buy a special needs kids a pair of sneakers and they give them to him in class, or, you know, the guy who walks to work, they buy him a car, they retire him. That stuff's just as contagious as the bad stuff.
Absolutely.
And so while we are able to sit and look at all the bad things in the world, man, there's so many good things that people get encouraged to do by seeing them being done.
Yeah. And if you're positioned in a time like this, this is the time to do those things. You know what I mean?
I think we're always positioned in a time like this, right? You don't have to have money to make somebody know that you care about them.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying. Oh,
dude, tell your friends you love them. Make it weird, dude. I promise. Like, every time I get off of the phone with my homies, even the guys at work, I'm like, all right, love you, bro. Talk to you soon. It's like, what? What is that? Bro, share that. Express that. It's important. You know what I mean?
You will know who your friends are, right? In tough times. You will know who your real friends are in tough times. Jenna in my office the other day actually got me, dude. And I, like I said, I have a hard time crying, and she fucking got me. And I said, I looked at her sitting there and I said, is everything okay? And she said, yeah. I said, well, you know, what's wrong? And she said, you know, just to watch you go through what you're going through. She's like, I just love you. Yeah. And so it hurts me to see it. And I'm like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
And she meant it with all her heart, because I love her so much and it's so reciprocal that any of the kind things we have done for each other, we're not putting them on a checklist of look what I did for you.
Yeah.
And I don't even recall the things that I've done. I'm just so eager to do them because I love her so much.
Right.
And so to hear that, and to hear my best friend yesterday tell me, like, you know, whatever you need. And this is a guy who is, you know, not somebody that I would turn to for some things that I may need at this moment. And he's like, you know, just my best friend. He's just like, you know, call me if you need it. You know what I mean? Call me if you need that. And I'll be there for you. And I'm like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Right. So you just know who your real friends are.
Yeah. Be that person. You know what I mean? That's if you can exercise, that allows someone to exercise vulnerability back. You know what I mean? If you can be open about that, it's like, hey, man, I'm here for you. Whatever you need, if there's something I can do, let me know. And they may not, but it's comforting knowing that they're there for you. You know, I don't know. It was for me when I was in that place. So
I think it's interesting. I think that some people, I think generally people do want to express that they are there for you. And then for some odd reason, some other people are able to put it in words that really make you know that this is the real person. Yeah. These are the real people. Like, these are real people that really care.
Yeah, 100%, man. And there's more of them out there than you think they are. I promise you that, man.
I do a lot of thinking, and, you know, I don't know what happens to us in our 40s when we start really reflecting about, I don't know why everybody in their 40s goes through this for the most part of, like, everything just kind of fucking calms down. You start to see life for what it is.
Yeah. And I think making sure that you're, you know what I mean? I think it's like you actually start learning from all the mistakes, and you can look at them with an objective lens, and you can actually start gleaning the truth and owning mistakes, and, you know, seeing the value in the mistake. And, you know, I think it's wisdom. I don't know how much I have of it, but I think I'm gaining it every day. So maybe that's it.
I'm having peaceful moments, and it's the only way to live.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I think one piece of advice I can give before we could probably wrap this thing up in a minute or so is that everybody needs to learn how to live in a peaceful state. And I am not always good at it. And I hate when I'm not there, but I really love when I am. Yeah. And so I have just as many problems, if not more, than everybody else.
For sure.
But I'm learning more and more to appreciate what actually matters and what's actually important. And I fear the day, and I go to bed every night thinking about, I wonder who I'm going to find out is no longer with us tomorrow and what that's going to feel like. You know, you got to think about that stuff.
Yeah. Tomorrow's not promised.
Tomorrow's not promised, but let's also not pretend like it's the end tomorrow either.
Yeah, for sure.
Because I think that's what really sometimes creates the anxiety of, like, there's not enough time. Nah, so I heard Tony Robbins talk today. I was following Tony Robbins. It's so weird how things get suggested on my YouTube, and it just answered a lot of questions for me. And he just said, most people are living for the next year. Yeah. Most successful people I've met are living for the next 10 years.
It's good advice.
We're always worried about Q1, Q2, and Q3, and Q4, but nobody's talking about what it's going to look like in 2033 and how do you get to where you want to be then.
Mm-hmm. Let's go get there.
Yeah. We got to do this again because we didn't get to anything we were going to discuss, but this was great. And, you know, listen, people don't know who Casey is. Casey's fucking amazing. If you're running to him in person, he is essentially a cross between like Crocodile Dundee and Fabio.
I mean, we'll take it. Yeah, man. Hey, look,
you always got the open shirt, right? We always see a nice fucking chest
it's
muscles.
The training, it's the training V. It's just the training tan. It's the only tan part of my body, so I got to show it.
Yeah.
But no, we're gonna come to the Street Cop event. You guys be on the lookout for the training schedule coming out for Cloud Defensive. And we're gonna have a code for the show that we'll drop when you guys drop this and whatnot that all your audience can access and we'll talk to you guys about the law enforcement stuff. Yeah.
Where can they find Cloud Defensive? The Instagram, the social medias, the website, okay, and some of the things that you guys do.
Yeah. So the Instagram is at Cloud Defensive. Let me make sure that I'm probably missing a dot in there somewhere. Hold on just a second. Let's see. Okay. Yeah. It's just at Cloud Defensive. One word on Instagram. You can find all our stuff there. Yeah. And it's just www.clouddefensive.com is the website. Yeah. So
what about your personal Instagram? Where's your personal Instagram? Where can people find you? Because you have a personal Instagram too, right?
Yeah. Personal Instagram is case.defensive. All my stuff will be on there as well. And I'll be promoting all the classes coming up. And let's get together, man. The space that we're creating is, I want everybody, bring it in together. There's too much bickering and fighting in the training space. I'm right, this is right. We're going to do it all.
I'm going to say this. Stuff, dude. There's bickering and fighting if you actually get involved in the bickering and fighting. My suggestion is let them bicker and fight. Ignore the noise. And I promise you, these people begin to weed themselves out and separate themselves. And so just like one half of the dudes go this way and girls go this way. The other half go this way. And for some odd reason, the shitheads continue to end up in the same goddamn pool and all the fucking real motherfuckers end up in the other pool. And so it's clear. And then the crazy thing is once those shitheads are in the pool with each other, they start to fight with each other. Now there's wars amongst them. So let them be their thing. I don't get involved. People have sent me clips of this guy saying this about this guy and that guy saying, I have no judgment, but I also have no interest in going there. I have no interest in trying to chop down your fucking trees to build my house.
Right.
I have no, for me, you can do whatever you want. You can throw stones. I'm focusing on one thing, and that is the people, the relationships that I appreciate, and the Street Cop building and what it looks like. And so I have an objective, and my objective is I train cops. I keep people alive. And I am somebody who has a responsibility to those who are associated with this organization to continue to show up and do the best that I can. And part of that process is me not being a piece of shit or talking shit about people. And, you know, I forgive a lot of people who have done things to us. And I got to tell you, my suspicions ring true. When I start seeing some fucking red flags going up about some things that I'm like, that's interesting. Why would that person do that? Why would that person say that? That's when I kind of back off a little bit, take a little bit of a back seat, and out of nowhere, all that shit starts to come to the surface. And you're like, yep, see, I called it. I fucking knew it. I fucking knew it. But I don't go to that level. I will never sink to your level. I don't care if you're my worst enemy. I will never, ever, ever sink to your level. And I can fucking guarantee you that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, maintaining that integrity, that personal integrity. It's a reflection of your product, man. You know what I mean? So let's just keep moving the direction we're moving. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Think about this. And that's the last thing I'll say. When somebody talks shit about me, I'm sorry, to me about other people, all that tells me is I'm just next.
Right. Yeah. It's good.
Anytime you got somebody who's a shit talker about other people, you know that you're just next. Hey, man, I just let him be.
Yeah.
God bless. C'est la vie. Do your thing. I want nothing to do with it. That's fine.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to be caught up in the mix of bickering and locking horns. So be it.
You're better than that, right?
I don't know if I'm better than that. I just know better than that. You know. Anyway. It's been a blast, brother. I got to pee and get the fuck out of here because my kid needs to learn how to fight, and I've got to bring him to do that. So they've been going to jiu-jitsu for a year. Anyway, I'll see you, Casey. It's been a blast. You got my cell phone number, right? You have my cell phone number. We talked, yeah.
Yeah, I'll hit you up.
Okay. Anything you need, bro, reach out.
Will do, man. Thanks, dude.
I'll see you, dude. I'll see you. Bye.
Later.
Hey guys, check out our upcoming training at streetcop.com. Don't forget, we have 50 instructors nationally teaching a variety of topics. These are the best classes you're going to experience in your career. We make sure of it. You're going to love it. I guarantee you, you're going to be thankful that you went. Check us out at streetcop.com for all upcoming classes in your area.